mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, a growing number of young people in their teens and 20s are being diagnosed with heart disease, posing a particular challenge to the recruiting and readiness efforts of the U.S. military. Our Salute to Service meets our To Your Health series. Also this morning in our community and business spotlight, the VITA program providing free tax prep help through the United Way of Hancock County is still available for those who qualify. Get details. And we have the scoop on programs and activities in the month of March at the Marathon Center for the Performing Arts. Heather Klo will be here to tell us what's happening. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Thursday, February 27th, 2025. This is big news. New legislation has been introduced at the state level in the state legislature that would make law enforcement quotas for issuing traffic tickets illegal. At a news conference yesterday, a bipartisan group of state lawmakers announced the bill. As the law stands now in the state of Ohio, sheriffs or police chiefs can require quotas. Can require that their officers issue a set number of tickets, a minimum number of tickets on a daily, weekly, or monthly basis. Although the practice is not common, certainly much less common than many in the public believe that it is. In fact, the Ohio State Highway Patrol actually has a collective bargaining contract that bans quotas. So it is there. It's not a thing for state highway patrol officers, but city and county authorities can issue those quotas. It remains an option for law enforcement agencies, and lawmakers say that that can take officers away from combating more serious crimes. And this measure to ban quotas does have the support of the Fraternal Order of Police and the Ohio Patrolmen's Benevolent Association. It has been considered in previous legislative sessions, but has not really gone anywhere. Backers this time believe that it does have traction. There is a bipartisan group behind it, so we'll see. It is big news. Potentially ticket quotas be a thing of the past. Like I said, it doesn't happen very often. It happens much less often than what many people think it happens, but this would make it fully illegal in the state of Ohio. Kind of interesting there. Some of the other most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. I saw this and I wanted to bring it up because, by and large, those who are listening to this program live, if you're listening to the podcast, it doesn't really apply as much. But if you're listening to the program as we present it live at 6:14 in the morning, most people who are tuning in are just starting their day, right? Getting up, getting ready to go to work. But there is a significant minority who are actually listening, who are ending their day or about to end their day, getting off of work or will be soon. And, those overnighters, those swing shift workers. And this is for you, some good news. If you work long hours at night, there is a new study. This has been published in the journal Occupational Environmental Medicine, which finds that taking melatonin could help you reduce your risk of cancer. If you work long hours at night, taking melatonin could help night workers reduce their risk of cancer. Working at night can compromise the body's ability to repair DNA damage, it says, which could result in an increased risk of cancer. But participants in this study who took melatonin contained 80% higher 8-OHDG levels. I don't know if I'm saying that right. It's a chemical linked to DNA cell repair. So could help you reduce your risk of cancer. Researchers say longer trials are needed, but it is very encouraging. And so you may want to add a dose of melatonin supplements to your regimen, according to this study published in the journal Occupational and Environmental Medicine. So, maybe talk to your doctor about that. Always should talk to your doctor before you start a supplement regimen, but a study is encouraging. So there you go. This is kind of cool. And talk about interesting and buzzworthy stories. In Pennsylvania, the East Allegheny School District is becoming the first public school district in the United States to use immersive reality technology in the classroom. It is described as virtual reality without the goggles. Now, I don't know exactly how this works, but it is an immersive reality space created within the classroom, according to the superintendent of the East Allegheny School District. Instead of, for example, just reading about King Tut's tomb, for example, students could take an interactive walkthrough of King Tut's tomb with this immersive reality technology. The district has partnered with a technology company, Zycom, which is based in Pittsburgh, and the technology apparently gives users access to a content library of more than 350,000 scenarios, games, and learning tools. The active floor, which generates the immersive reality space, has been installed at two schools within the East Allegheny School District. How cool is that? You know, just take a virtual reality walk through it. You're studying, and it, you know, King Tut's tomb, they use that as an example, but I don't know, the Grand Canyon, Mount Rushmore, I don't know, just anything, you know, just about anything. The White House, perhaps, the halls of Congress, who knows? I mean, you could go on and on and on. Maybe go back to the signing of the Declaration of Independence, 1776, and recreate that and put your students in immersive reality. What an incredible learning tool this would be. I think it would be cool. I'd like to do that just because, you know. Pretty wild. No story doesn't say how much this technology costs. That would be the big thing as to whether it would be feasible in widespread use. But it's pretty cool for that school district anyway. Every day we have to have some doom and gloom story. You know that. There's got to be some world is coming to an end. We're all going to die. Society is doomed kind of story. So here is today's doom and gloom story. A new Johns Hopkins study has revealed that more than half of the American diet contains ultra-processed foods. More than half of the American diet. An analysis of 34,000 American adults and their eating habits found that ultra-processed foods made up a substantial portion of their diets, even when they made their meals at home, which means fast food, which is kind of the frequent culprit, believed to be the frequent culprit of ultra-processed foods in our diet. Fast food is not the only culprit out there. The proliferation and ubiquity of ultra-processed foods on grocery store shelves is changing what we are eating, even when we make meals at home, according to the study authors, Johns Hopkins. Ultra-processed foods contain added sugars, unhealthy fats, and sodium, and are linked to chronic health conditions. So, in other words, we're all going to die. It's a doom and gloom story. We are, in fact, doomed. But it's interesting that it's not just when we're eating junk food on the go. We're consuming this even at home. What we think are healthy meals maybe are not quite as healthy as we think they are. As it turns out. And lastly here, among the first things you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. You might have heard about this. This has been popping up in my social media feed over and over and over again for the past several days. This effort by a grassroots group calling themselves the People's Union USA is asking Americans not to make any purchases at all tomorrow. They're calling it an economic blackout, and it is gaining support from a number of celebrities and catching fire online. People are sharing this, the idea of an economic blackout for 24 hours on Friday. The initiative, they say, is a protest of corporate greed. According to the organizers, we have to accept these insane prices, the corporate greed, the billionaire tax breaks, all the while We are struggling just to get by, and this is the opportunity to fight back. And this is an idea that has been tried a number of times in the past. It is not a new idea, and it never works. I mean, so you don't buy anything on Friday. What's the point? You're just going to go buy it on Saturday or on Sunday, right? Or you're going to stock up ahead of time on Thursday, like you do before a big storm. You know, I just don't get it. If you want to participate and makes you feel like you're doing something, then I get it. But if you're expecting some big sea change in policy to come out of this, you're going to be disappointed. But anyway, that's out there, and if you haven't seen it, you likely will. But like I said, it is not a new idea, and I can't imagine it being a successful idea, but there it is. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Thursday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather, mostly cloudy today, a few showers, a high in the mid-40s. Cloudy tonight with a low around 30. Officers with the Fostoria Police Department were able to prevent an individual from jumping from a train overpass. When responding officers arrived on the scene at the East Center Street train overpass, they found an individual threatening to jump from the overpass. After de-escalating the situation and calming the subject down, the subject reluctantly came back inside of the railing. However, he then changed his mind and attempted to climb to the outside of the railing again, but officers were able to pull him back away from doing so. The subject then began fighting with the officers. However, officers were able to restrain the subject. The individual was then taken to Fostoria ProMedica Hospital for evaluation. Police Chief Gabe Wedge said this is another example of how crisis intervention training is paying off in the city of Fostoria and across the nation. Get more in this story on our website. Health officials say severe and even deadly flu cases are surging across the country and in Ohio.
We're just halfway through flu season right now, but already 19,000 people have died from influenza in the United States. The CDC says more than 430,000 people have been hospitalized. And in Ohio, we're seeing some of the highest flu activity in the entire country.
ONN's Clay Gordon reporting. At their February board meeting, the Findlay-Hancock County Community Foundation Board of Trustees approved grants totaling more than $770,000.
Grant making is the cornerstone program of the Findlay-Hancock County Community Foundation, and we award between $3 and $4 million annually. Since 1992, the Community Foundation has awarded more than $75 million in grants.
Community Foundation President and CEO Brian Treese says this latest round of grants demonstrates the depth of what they do as a foundation, with grants for everything from fun for all community events to environmental work. Brian adding that the generosity of their donors is what makes their work possible. See the full rundown of grants awarded in this story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online at WFIN.com.
Well, we're kind of combining our Salute to Service series and To Your Health series this morning with this story. Heart disease remains the leading cause of death in the United States, and that risk is not exclusive to just older generations, as you might think. Some studies now show that upwards of 15% of Gen Zers, these are individuals now in their teens and 20s, could be living with a heart condition. But the good news is there are things that you can do to improve your overall cardiovascular health. And so as we wrap up Heart Month in February, U.S. Army cardiologist Colonel James Watts is with us this morning. Colonel, obviously that statistic about a growing number of younger people being affected by heart disease is particularly concerning to the military, given that's who you are recruiting, and fewer healthy young people means fewer recruits, which of course is just one of many reasons why this is an important topic.
Yes, absolutely. When we talk about heart disease, the first step is awareness. We need to start having these conversations with everybody about the risk of heart disease. Just like you said earlier on in the show, we used to believe that heart disease only affected the elderly, but in fact, it affects really everybody, and the statistics show that younger folks are coming down with heart disease, and it to a certain degree is a very preventable condition. And so I really want to focus on what the Army has learned about preventing heart disease, because prevention is clearly the safer strategy.
So first of all, talk a little bit about your role as an Army cardiologist and how you and others in that role are working to support the health of those who are already in the military forces.
Yeah, great question. So really, Army cardiologists serve two roles. The first one is, as you would expect, they see patients in the clinic or in the hospital. Our patients are soldiers, the soldiers' family members, and former soldier retirees. We do that regularly. The second thing, though, that we do is we have the opportunity to inform leadership, Army senior leadership, in policies and programs that decrease the overall risk of heart disease for the force. And I will tell you that we've really broken that down into four fundamental pillars. The first one being avoiding all tobacco products. Tobacco use is one of the most common causes of heart disease, and so we want to get those out of our lives, or get any of that out of our lives. Two is nutrition. Deciding when we eat and what we eat is incredibly important to heart health as well as health in general. Third thing is physical activity. Everybody knows that the military is a very physical occupation, and it's no secret that consistent physical fitness or consistent physical activity to develop physical fitness is very important in preventing heart disease and in improving quality of life. And then the last thing, believe it or not, sleep, ensuring that you have great sleep duration and quality is really important. And there's a lot of research that's coming out on that. And these are the things that we teach, coach, and mentor our soldiers to incorporate into their daily lives at really kind of a young adult age.
Yeah.
And it paid off significant dividends.
Obviously, will benefit the force in the immediate and will benefit these individuals long term, even long after maybe they have separated from the military. I'm curious, are there specific programs and trainings that are available to soldiers to focus on better improving their health and wellness?
Absolutely. So we have a few. They're all, I mean, we have actually more than a few, but they're all wrapped up in a bigger program called Holistic Health and Fitness. And so what we've done over the years is taking a look at what are the factors that allow soldiers to thrive and optimize performance. And we found that in order for our soldiers to be able to do that, one, they have to be there's a physical domain, so physically fit. Two, there is a psychological domain, right? So having a resilient and ready mindset. Three, having a good spiritual foundation is really important. And then all of those things are underpinned by good sleep and sound nutrition. And so.
Yeah.
And we have all kinds of different programs that feed into those, but that's the overarching big Army program.
The reason I ask is because I'm wondering, are there some of the techniques that you use in the Army that civilians could use in their everyday lives to improve our own cardiovascular health? I mean, can we extrapolate on out from some of those principles that you use in the military to, you know, everyone?
You know, one of my favorites is rucksacking, right? So I don't think it's any secret to any American. Watch any Army movie, and you know what do soldiers do? They walk. They walk with big rucksacks, backpacks, and what we found is if that's done correctly over long periods of time, and not just long periods in one session, but consistently, there are tremendous health benefits. And what you've seen in modern society is what used to be an onerous soldier task, which was rucksacking,
right,
is now a fitness craze, right? And so, but I think it's great because it's something that anybody can do as simply as, hey, I'm going to take these two textbooks, I'm going to put them in my backpack, and I'm going to walk around New York City or you know, pick your favorite location for a few hours.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. I guess the bottom line with respect to that is the heart is like any other muscle in the body. You've got to exercise it in order to make sure that it stays healthy and at peak performance.
Absolutely. And just like any other muscle, right? The key to success is start low and go slow, right? Start low and go slow and be consistent. So, it's not a good idea to run into intense activity if the engine isn't ready.
Right.
But it's also not a good idea to not continue to challenge yourself.
Yeah.
Right? You can't stay at a plateau and expect any gains.
Words that we can quite literally live by. Our salute to service and to your health this morning, kind of combining both into one for Heart Month in February. Where do we get more information?
Yeah, I think our best one-stop shop for information is GoArmy.com. Great source of information on the topics we talked about today, but also a great jumping point for any American who wants to learn more about their Army. GoArmy.com.
U.S. Army cardiologist Colonel James Watts with us this morning. Colonel, thanks very much for the time. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Now, the Good Mornings Community and Business Spotlight.
Putting the United Way of Hancock County in the spotlight this morning, Kelly McClurkin is here, and the VITA program continues. For those who don't know what this is all about, it's volunteer income tax assistance for those who need that within the community. And I know we've talked about it before, but there are still opportunities for people if you need a little bit of help to get an appointment, get that help. It's absolutely free.
Yes, it is. It's free tax prep. You do have to meet some criteria. Your total household income has to be $67,000 or under.
Mm-hmm.
But it truly helps so many individuals in our community. Last year, we filed 920 state and federal returns, which brought back over $1 million back into the community, into those customers' pockets.
Yeah. I mean, it's great for those individuals, but it's also great for the community. And I don't think that that can be understated.
It is. Free tax prep, like just think what that means, how much, you know, we know that bill can rack up. We've had, so these are real people, but made up names. We're just going to call her Martha. She utilized the program last year. It's very intimidating for seniors to navigate free online service.
Mm-hmm.
And she was really appreciative to be able to come in and talk to someone. Her preparer was patient with her, and she felt very confident speaking with someone like that, rather than doing a web-based program.
Sure.
So for seniors, we even have someone last year, we'll call her Jennifer. She was in financial restraints because of medical bills last year.
So many people, and that's a familiar story.
I mean, it really is, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, it could be something other than medical. But she was really appreciative of that free tax prep service. You know, it helped her tremendously.
Yeah.
And came home and booked an appointment for her father, too. So.
Wow. Yeah. So, absolutely. And again, this is something that is a lot of times associated with seniors, but it's not limited to seniors.
No, it's anyone in the community whose combined household income, whether it's, you know, one or two or whatever.
Or more.
More. Uh-huh. $67,000 or under.
Yeah, that's the threshold. And you make such a good point. And again, it applies especially with seniors, but with just anybody. If you
feel a little intimidated by the whole tax thing with those online programs and so on. There's always that nervousness of, you know, I don't want to make a mistake. And they say they're idiot proof, but sometimes it's just nice to sit down with somebody who knows what they're doing and can go over it one-on-one with you.
And I think anytime you mention the IRS, like, we just get a little nervous. Sure. You know, we just want to do the right thing and make sure they're done properly.
So what's involved in signing up and making an appointment? Because you do need to make an appointment.
You do. It is by appointment because we, you know, we, by when it's all said and done, we wind up having a wait list.
Right.
So we do have a direct VITA line. That phone number is 567-245-5599. Mm-hmm. You can find that on our website as well, uwhancock.org. Call and make an appointment. We will kind of vet to make sure you have the right criteria. You do have to live or work this year. We're expanding some things this year. Last year, you had to just live. This year, you can live or work in Hancock County.
Okay.
So you do have to have that correlation with the county.
Sure.
Somehow. We also have expanded a little bit. Last year, we had 18 VITA volunteers. This year, I think we have close to 30, if not over. So we have been able to expand. There are appointments every day during the week, morning, afternoon, and even some evenings and Saturday appointments. So we really try to, you know, keep that wide, that range wide, so that it fits most people's
What schedule. Is the lead time on this? Again, April 15th is the deadline. You're probably not going to want to call on April 14th.
Yes, no. Actually, as a matter of fact, I think our cutoff is the week before that for appointments.
All right.
Yes. So
and they can go over with you all of the stuff that you will need to bring and all of that so that you can actually complete all of those forms
when you schedule an appointment. We go through everything that you need to bring. If you are an email user, we will send you a confirmation of your appointment, time, place, and what all to bring there too. So it's
making
hopefully
it as easy
as possible.
Easy as possible, because the last thing that you want to do is add any anxiety to an already anxiety-ridden thing with the VITA program. And those appointments are being held where?
That's 50 North.
At 50 North.
Okay. It's just the mornings. The library has a much more diverse schedule. That's the every day plus Saturday.
But those are the locations.
In the evenings, yes. I do want to mention this is completely volunteer run. Last year, they totaled 1,400 volunteer hours, and we're going to increase that a little bit this year. So we are so grateful for community members, you know, that donate their time for such a long period of time.
And by the way, just in case somebody is wondering, these are trained volunteers.
Oh, yes,
they know exactly what they're doing.
They have gone through training.
Yeah.
Yes, so please feel confident that they know what they're doing.
Again, give us the number to call for appointments for the VITA program.
567-245-5599.
Very good.
More info on uwhancock.org.
Again, the United Way of Hancock County in the spotlight this morning. CEO Kelly McClurkin, thanks very much.
Thank you.
The Community and Business Spotlight is a promotional advertisement paid for by the featured sponsor.
Information that makes a difference. Good mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
Sometimes, you know, a story is going to be good just from reading the very first line of the story. And this is one of those. Leading off today's broken news: a college student in China accidentally caused a fire in his dorm while trying to hide his inflatable girlfriend from his roommate. If that's the first line of the story, you know that this is going to be good. A college student in China accidentally caused a fire in his dorm while trying to hide his inflatable girlfriend from his roommate. Panicked when his roommate arrived home back at the dorm unexpectedly, he set the blow-up doll on fire in the hallway. Probably not the wisest idea. That, of course, started a larger blaze. Thankfully, the fire department quickly was able to extinguish it, preventing injuries and substantial property damage. The dorm issued a warning for students to avoid using open flames near flammable materials and to properly dispose of unwanted items. And I guess the secret's out. Okay. Elsewhere in the broken news, speaking of looking for love in all the wrong places, we are wrapping up the month of February, which is, you know, Valentine's Day in February and matters of the heart and all that, so I guess it's appropriate. Sharon Kills, she's from London, and says she found the love of her life in the toilet paper roll aisle at Tesco, which is one of the big supermarket chains in Great Britain, Tesco. She found the love of her life in the toilet paper roll aisle, and that's why she has gotten a tattoo commemorating their meet cute. That's right, she got a tattoo of a toilet paper roll somewhere on her leg, it says here. She has gotten a golden toilet roll tattoo on her leg. The pair met back in 1986 and have been together ever since. Her commemorative ink includes the day they met and butterflies. Look at the golden toilet roll. She says, I remember seeing this young shop floor boy on the toilet paper roll aisle on his first day. It was 6'7", wavy hair, cute butt. She's now got a toilet paper roll tattooed on her leg. Well, do anything for love, but I wouldn't do that. I don't know. What else is going on in the broken news? Some of the odd and unusual stories. Perusing the newswire, police in Colombia have arrested a man who is allegedly caught trying to smuggle drugs under his wig through airport security. Police say the 40-year-old suspect was detained on Monday at the local airport when he was caught trying to board a flight to Amsterdam with over 200 grams of cocaine packed in small bags beneath his toupee. The scheme, which one might figuratively and literally call harebrained, was thwarted by an airport scanner before the would-be drug mule boarded his flight to Amsterdam. Can you imagine being an airport screener and seeing that under guy's toupee? Officials estimate the street value of the drugs to be worth over $10,000. They say the suspect has a prior criminal record, which includes two drug trafficking convictions. Apparently, he's not very good at it. He keeps trying, but he's not very good at it. Let's see. Always got to have a story out of Florida. This is the latest. A man in Orange County, Florida, Stephen Donovan, is accused of impersonating a law enforcement officer in order to investigate illegal immigrants. Stephen Donovan took it upon himself to pretend to be with the Department of Homeland Security while at the Saval Palm Apartments in Orlando earlier this week. Court documents state that Mr. Donovan told an employee at the apartment complex that he was investigating illegal immigrants and needed one of the units opened before allegedly flashing a gun. Now, he went all out on this, but he doesn't work for Homeland Security. He wasn't investigating illegal immigrants, at least not legitimately, and the suspect had his first court appearance earlier this week. Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. I understand that it is a growing problem. It's a growing issue, but leave that to the actual law enforcement officials. And finally, in the broken news this morning, this out of Keene, New Hampshire, where 23-year-old Kelly Tedford has been charged with criminal mischief after allegedly posting videos of herself online, relieving herself on grocery products at the Monadnock Food Co-op store. Local grocery store. She was relieving herself on various grocery products. Oh. And then posting the videos online. Alerted to the videos by an anonymous tip, police found additional footage posted of Ms. Tedford allegedly committing the same act dating all the way back to 2021. It's been going on for like 4 years. Amid the investigation, the food co-op issued a recall of a number of products, saying, "We have been in direct communications with the Keene Health Department, which has confirmed that no ongoing risks remain." Oh, yuck. What would possess someone to do something like that? Just looking for 15 minutes of fame? What in the world? Man, people are weird. There you go. That is today's Broken News Report. An update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. It is definitely that. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
The Findlay Kiwanis Club invites you to their annual All-You-Can-Eat Pancake Day, Saturday, March 1st, from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. in the Findlay High School cafeteria. Get your tickets in advance from any Kiwanian, AAA Findlay, Heavenly Pizza, or State Bank Downtown Findlay. $7 for adults, $6 for seniors and kids 12 and under. Tickets at the door on March 1st will cost a dollar more. This message provided by WFIN.
Time now for your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. You know what happens every time we have a presidential election, a certain faction of the population is unhappy with the results, unhappy with the direction of the new administration, and they're all up in arms, and especially since the proliferation of social media, they go online and say, "I'm leaving the country. I'm going to move out of America. This is ridiculous. You know, the country is going to hell in a handbasket, you know?" And this time around, it's no different, although it does appear that maybe some of the reasoning behind those who are looking to move to another country goes a little bit deeper than just politics. 17% of Americans say that they would like to move outside the United States during the next 5 years. This is according to a new Talker Research survey. They asked 2,000 American adults. 17% said that they would like to move outside the United States. Now, only 5% in the survey believe that they actually will do that, though. And only 2% say they already have plans in place to do so. Millennials, the most eager to transplant themselves elsewhere at 25%. And interestingly, those in the Midwest are more likely than other regions of the country. 18% of those here in the Midwest as compared to 16% in other regions. The top five destinations they have in mind: Canada, Italy, England, Australia, and Ireland. Those are the top five. According to those who put the survey out there, many professionals, especially younger generations, are questioning whether the traditional American dream is still attainable. And in contrast, they see many countries offering more affordable living costs, universal health care, better work-life balance. At least that's the perception. Although 69% say they are worried about the direction that the U.S. is moving, it is more economics than politics. 54% said living in the U.S. is simply no longer affordable. 55% cite the wealth gap as limiting their opportunities. Two-thirds of respondents think American healthcare and or education systems are broken. And 40% simply said that living in the United States is no longer enjoyable. Heather Clough is here from the Marathon Center for the Performing Arts to tell us what's happening in the month of March, which is a little slower than February. February is just packed.
Yeah, we packed all the shows we could in February. And there is a lot going on in March, but they're for like 2 weeks at a time.
because it's like Youth Theater has a big show. And this is a big show. They're doing
The Wizard of Oz, especially after the movie hype. Sure. We're excited to do Wizard of Oz.
Absolutely.
And so they move in, and they're there for two solid weeks.
Okay.
And then those are third to fifth graders doing that show.
Okay.
And then right after that, the University of Findlay moves in for 2 weeks for their musical. So it gives me less time to book shows.
So you can take a little breather after a very busy month. The University of Findlay's show is coming up at the end of the month called Bingo.
Bingo.
Anything you, do you know anything
I don't
about this
know musical? This. I consider myself a Broadway freak, and I don't know that show, so I'm kind of excited to see it.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. And The Wizard of Oz is the middle of the month.
It is, yeah. So that is the 14th and 15th. There's a Friday night 7 o'clock show and then a matinee on Saturday. Okay. And these kids have been working since January. Since January.
Yeah. And this is the 2 weeks, as you mentioned. It's not, it doesn't all come together in just 2 weeks, but this is the time when they actually get on stage.
Exactly. So we call that load-in. That's going to be tomorrow. They're going to load in the set and get the set all up and running and do add all the tech and all of the music and things like that. But they've been rehearsing a lot longer. Yeah.
So tickets are available for both those shows, by the way, right now.
Yes, absolutely, on our website. And Wizard of Oz especially are going, they're going quick.
I
People
would
love
imagine
munchkins.
So. I would imagine so, both literally and figuratively with the little ones on,
exactly.
on the stage.
Exactly.
You know, since there's not as much going on, it does give us an opportunity to talk a little bit about some of the educational things that you do. I mean, youth theater obviously is one of the biggest, most public things that people know about.
It is.
But there are other classes you've got. A number of art clubs.
We have art clubs for all ages, visual art clubs. So those are with Jason Wagner. And he, you know, they're in the art gallery, so the kids get to look at the great art and make art at the same time.
Yeah.
We host homeschool classes.
Right.
And performing arts classes for kids. And we haven't done as many lately, but dance classes for adults we've done. And we're looking at really expanding our adult selection as well. So we, you know, it's important to not just watch art, but participate in art.
Yeah. And so if folks want to sign up, particularly for, you know, like we mentioned, the arts workshops, the homeschool classes, if you have some, if you homeschool or you know someone who does, this is an opportunity to incorporate the arts into that curriculum. How do folks learn more about those?
Yeah, so we have an education tab on our website, and it's all listed there, and you can register right online. There's a little form to fill out, and you get all on board.
And they you break them down by grade level, age level and grade
absolutely.
Level.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. We make it grade appropriate, age appropriate.
Yeah. So, and a number of those are going on in the
They are,
March
yep. They're just starting gearing up for March. We sort of shut down February and getting ready to get into March. So that's a great time to check it out.
And again, look for the Arts Education and Community tab on the website. So you've got the Wizard of Oz, Bingo the Winning Music. There are a couple of other things that are going on. The Community Read Project, and we were talking about that earlier this week, about Community Read, and that feature event is coming up in March.
It is. It's going to be March 20th, and we love partnering with the library on that. I always telling people that I'm a big reader, so I always partner with the library whenever possible. And it's been probably 5 years or so that they've done that event there. And they're always great to hear authors talking about their process.
And this one, again, is going to be really interesting, gaining ground, talking about the health of the family farm and the challenges. Obviously, we're very much in tune to that, this community, so that is an event not to be missed.
Absolutely.
Again, tickets are on sale now.
Yes, tickets are available on our website for that.
And then we do have a Live at Arms show.
We do. We have Chicago Farmer at the end of the month.
Okay. Speaking of farms.
Speaking of farms, exactly. A little bit different type of farmer. He's kind of a combination of urban and rural.
Okay.
He comes from a rural background, lives in Chicago, great singer-songwriter with a band. I'm excited. Also, I was mentioning before we went on the air that I'm booking next year's Live at Arms, and I'm getting excited about those, too.
So. Earlier this week, you said you were out at a conference where you see all of these groups.
Yes. So it's called Folk Alliance International. It was in Montreal, and it was snowy. but you just, you know, meet the artists, meet the agents, listen to their songs, and it's great. I've made about a dozen offers since I've gotten back, it's going well.
Looking forward to a good series coming up next year. It'll be a while before we have the announcement ready, but
May 15th for that one.
Already,
and June 10th for Main Stage.
Already looking forward to it. So Chicago Farmer, that is on Thursday.
Yes, the 27th of March.
Okay. Yep. So some of the things that are going on here in the coming month, and they're a
new. I was at the center yesterday, as a matter of fact, mm-hmm. to pick up some artwork that my wife and I purchased from the last show. And the gallery is their new artwork up?
Yes, it's the Ohio Watercolors Touring Exhibit. Ooh. What we get every year.
Okay,
It's a juried showcase. It's the best watercolor artists in Ohio.
Wow!
And they put it together and tour it around, and we're always honored to be on that. They're beautiful, and you look at them and you wouldn't guess it's watercolor. To really? Me, watercolor are those, you know, little things you had in first grade and, right. and ran all over the place. And right. I mean, some of these look like photography. I don't know wow. how they do it with watercolor. It's amazing. Gorgeous.
Yeah. And again, the art gallery is open all the time.
Whenever it is. The yeah. It's whenever the building is open, mm-hmm. especially before shows and at intermission. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember the exact end date for this one, but it'll be there at least a month.
Okay. So make time to swing by and check that out yeah. Because it's always interesting to see with the now are any of those for sale, because a lot of yes. times, as we mentioned, you know, we picked up some artwork from the yeah. from the previous show, which was
thank you for doing the
Finding
that.
Mazes
yeah
show was absolutely fabulous,
and that was really, a local artist, so that was even yeah, more exciting.
Terrific stuff. But a lot of these artworks are
yeah many of them are. There are a couple that are not for sale, like the artist isn't selling them and they've already been sold,
right?
But there's a price list and you can get whatever you
yeah.
like
mostly. So yeah, worth checking out. And again, it's all happening at the Marathon Center for the Performing Arts in the month of March. We've got a link on for online for more information. Goodmornings.net. Heather Clough, Marathon Center. Thanks very much for dropping by.
Thank you.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. Thanks to all of our guests, of course, for joining us on the program this morning. And remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage. Check us out online at goodmornings.net. Coming up tomorrow on the program, the first of two deliveries of NASA cargo to the lunar surface is expected this weekend. We'll talk about what this means for America's goal of returning to the moon and then exploring beyond. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.